meet a nurse who personally witnessed and documented miraculous healings, and even witnessed the dead raised back to life.
Jesus.
Do angels exist? Are healing miracles real? Is there life after death? Can people get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 25 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Melody Henry, was a registered nurse, and as a registered nurse, she happened to be one of these backslidden Christians, but she saw things that were unexplainable. And I imagine a lot of doctors, a lot of nurses see these things. Melody, what did you see?
Well, I saw a judge who was brain dead with three flat EEGs, whom God touched. And not only was he healed, he went back.
One flat EEG, your brain dead. He had three
flat EEGs.
So he was dead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody was home.
Okay.
And God touched him and raised him up. And he not only lived, but he went back to try hundreds of cases on the federal court circuit.
Mm. And then you saw someone that actually died before your eyes.
I did. I was taking care of a patient who had a brainstem stroke. She was in intensive care. And didn't respond to any kind of stimulus. And while I was at her bedside, she had a cardiac arrest and her heart stopped. So brainstem stroke, her heart's not beating, she's clinically dead. I saw this woman sit up in the bed.
After she's dead.
And I saw a look on her face like someone who's just seen someone they love, and she went, Jesus. And then she floated back to her pillow and she was gone.
What effect did that have on you?
I turned back to God real quick.
Now listen, I have your book here, Anointing for Healing. I love it.
Thank you.
The thing that I love about it so much is in most of the cases, it wasn't an instant miracle. It was literally a fight of faith. And most people aren't aware of this, that they can fight. They don't have to give up. They don't have to throw in the towel when they don't have their instant miracle.
That's the truth. Most people think if it doesn't come instantly that God didn't heal them. But that's not true.
Well, let's talk to one of these people in the book, Wendy Moore, who had Lou Gehrig's disease. Hello, Wendy. Are you there?
Hi, Sid. I'm here.
Hi. Take me from the time you found out you had Lou Gehrig's disease and what you did about it.
Okay. Well, I was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease April 17th of 2001. My youngest son was only 4 weeks old.
Oh, how tragic.
It was devastating. I had a four-week-old baby and a two-year-old little boy, and I didn't know that my children would ever grow up to know who their mother was. The doctors at University of Michigan Hospital told me I had 2 to 5 years to live, that I should quit my job and basically prepare to die.
I have friends that have died from Lou Gehrig's disease. Does anyone survive?
No, it's a fatal disease. It's always fatal. Your nerves die off, and which supply your muscle with the ability to function, and your muscles waste away, and it's a tragic, terrible death.
But you had an aunt that told you something you had never heard.
Yep, she told me that that there were promises in God's word for my healing, and that I was going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And I went to Bible college and started learning what exactly God's word had to say concerning healing, and that healing was for me, and that Jesus was no respecter of persons, and if he'd healed one person, he'd heal me too.
Now, I understand, even though you didn't have your balance and you're literally coming apart at the seams, you determined to go back to work, working on an ambulance. Tell me about that.
Well, I just decided that, you know, faith without works is dead. And if I was going to say that I was healed and know that Jesus healed me, then I was going to have to act upon that faith that I was saying with my mouth. And so I decided to go back to work full time. And everybody at work stood in faith with me, along with my wonderful family. And I didn't want a pity party. I wanted everybody to agree with me that the ramifications and the manifestations of this healing would come. And that's exactly what I did. I carried on my life like normal. And
well, 2 years later, what happened to you?
It was 2.5 years later. I had consistently went down to University of Michigan for about 6 months, and they would always check me out. But the last time I went down, which was in August of 2003, they called me back and they said, "Will you come back down in October for a repeat EMG with the same doctors that did your original EMG?" And so I agreed to do that. And in October 20th of 2003, I went back down for a repeat EMG. And the doctors were walking in and out of the room and in and out of the room and asking me a lot of questions.
I can picture that scene.
Yeah, and they said, "Did your mother ever have polio when she was pregnant with you?" Or, you know, they were just asking me questions, and they said, "You know, Wendy, you don't have ALS. We don't know what's happened here, but your nerves are trying to repair themselves." They said that I look like, my nerve endings look like somebody that had polio 50 years ago, but they were not dying off anymore. And that's what ALS is that nerves are actively dying off. And when they made the original diagnosis, they saw nerve death within 14 days of the test. And when they did the EMG almost 3 years later, the nerves had stopped dying off.
So what do the doctors have to say about this?
They had to leave us alone in the room for about 30 minutes because we were just in awe. I had never felt so close and felt God's presence so over. It was an overwhelming feeling, like God had answered our prayers exactly how we'd asked Him to answer them. You know, we stood in faith and we trusted Him and we acted upon His word, and He.
But what did the Wendy? What did the doctor say?
They said it's a miracle. They said they have the doctor came in and told my mom and dad, "You just got your daughter back." We have never been able to tell anybody this, but you just got your daughter back. And they were crying. They were absolutely devastated.
But Wendy, don't you understand that the disease you had is a death sentence?
Absolutely, I do. And I've seen so many people that have since died from Lou Gehrig's disease. And I, you know, I'm here today, you know, proclaiming the works of the Lord.
Do you believe everyone can experience healing that follows what you did follow?
Absolutely.
You know, I am so glad, Wendy, that you are in the book. I'm sorry because of time. I'm going to have to say goodbye to you right now. But Melanie, there are so many just stories like this and so well documented. I can't wait to get to some of the others. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Melanie Henry, and I am so excited about these documented miracles. For instance, I've got 23 pages here of a man by the name of Desmond Ullman, and Desmond was a four-year-old boy, and listen to this medical report. I mean, how would you have liked to have been his parents? He has a grave, and that's the word in the medical report, a grave form of autism, absolutely no involvement to the world around him. And then it goes on to say he must learn to live with it, that this will never be able to heal again. Melanie, this is such an amazing story, and there's so many people that have either hopeless situations that are watching us right now or children with autism. What type of bizarre activity did he do?
He was uncontrollable. He rarely slept. He banged his head against the wall for hours at a time. He had obsessive, he didn't speak much, but he would go obsessively, "I am Desmond, I am Desmond." He would scream, he would spit his food. The stress of trying to raise this child almost destroyed the family.
And we have, like, you know, the before and after, but we have the after, as he's a grown up young man now, right? And I want, in his own words, for him to describe what it was like to have this disease.
"You must know that I couldn't really control what I was doing. It was something like human being with no purpose, just doing what it was told, something like that.
And his mother got a hold of what the Bible had to say about healing. And she did, Melanie, the most amazing thing. Rather than her son just repeating for hours and hours, "I am Desmond, I am Desmond," what did she have him do?
She taught him to say, "I am healed, I am healed, I am healed," for hours on end.
And you know, the healing wasn't instant. No. It took a while. And one day he went on the school bus for special needs children, and he was coming home, and what happened?
Well, when he went to school that morning, he had been totally autistic. And when he came home from school, he walked up to his mother, looked in her eyes and said, "Why am I going to school with those strange children?"
I like that word, strange children. He's saying those children are strange in his own words as he remembers this. Let's find out what happened on the bus.
I was sitting in the bus, and in the meantime, I was like an autistic child, and all the time I was like thinking like a normal person. And the first thing I mentioned was strange children, people laying on the ground because they have some kind of physical attacks you couldn't see. Very strange, and I was thinking about myself, why I'm sitting in that school, I don't have such problems. Nothing that I was heavenly autistic, but nevertheless, I was healed. I think from that moment on, I was stepping out of the bus and said to my mother, "Mother, why are there all strange children on my school?" And my mother was very happy, and yes, I was too, I guess. For the first time in my life, I had a social talk with my parents, so.
I don't know about you, but to your knowledge, have you ever heard of someone with autism being healed by
I've never heard of it a single time. That doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but I've never heard of it. And it's become rampant in our society. This young man lived in Holland, and his mother got a hold of the Word of God and refused to let go of believing that by Jesus' stripes he was healed.
I want to see a clip on his mother, his proud mother.
Everything he couldn't do before, like riding a bicycle, like keeping his balance, like making friends and keeping friends and have a good social life, he can do anything now because of God. There is total healing for every disease, whatever it is. And you know, it's not only for Desmond, it's also for everyone who's watching, who is in need for a miracle.
And you've heard the phrase, "all things are possible." Well, this fellow with severe autism, do you know where he's enrolled right now?
In law school.
Did you get that? In law school? So no matter how, in fact, you told me that the Spirit of God told you there were people watching that have hopeless situations. Would you speak to them
right
now?
There are people watching this show who doctors have told you the facts, and the facts are you're dying. But the truth of God's word is that by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. And don't let go of that. In the spirit, it looks like the Grand Canyon, and you're standing on the edge of the abyss about to step over, and God's saying, "Come away with me. Step back. You don't have to die prematurely. You don't have to die prematurely. God wants to know you intimately, and His promises are available to you as much today as it was when Desmond was 10 years old and he was healed. And there's also someone who's feeling very hopeless and despairing of life. And that darkness is like a ball of twine, but God knows which one to pull to unravel the whole thing. Don't give up. He's there for you."
And that's the message of your book, Don't Give Up. Tell me about that fellow that was dying from, from Africa, a form of lymphoma. In fact, I think a lot of those records you have are on him.
These are his medical records.
Tell me what happened to
him. His name's Brian Wills. He was 22 years old, a professional tennis player. And he was diagnosed with Burkitt's lymphoma, which is one of the fastest growing cancers in the world. Primarily occurs in African children. Nobody knows why this man got it.
but it sometimes kills children in a day.
So, I mean, this was about as hopeless a situation
right.
as you can get.
He was diagnosed on Friday with a tumor the size of a golf ball, and on Tuesday, when they admitted him to the National Institute of Health, it was 10 inches across, and he was given, his kidneys had shut down, he was given 10 hours to live.
It doesn't get much worse than that. We'll be right back after this word. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Melanie Henry, and we're talking about a young man that had everything, everything to live for. He's starting on the professional tennis circuit, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he has a form of lymphoma, not just lymphoma, but from Africa, a very rare variety. And it was given, what, 10 hours to live?
10 hours to live.
Tell me the rest.
He went to the Lord and said, what can I do? And the Lord said, you have to follow my steps. And he said, what are they? And he said, the Lord told him first and foremost that he had unforgiveness about somebody. And unforgiveness, Sid, is one of the things that will hold disease in its
place.
That
is a cancer.
It is a cancer.
Unforgiveness.
It is. And the Lord showed him this, and Brian said, I don't even know how to reach that person to repent to him. And a phone number marched across his mind. He dialed it from the hospital room at the National Institute of Health, didn't tell the person I'm on my deathbed, just apologized, got things right, and his kidneys started working. I have the record right here, Sid, where the doctor says kidneys has opened up.
You've got the medical record.
The medical record. And they couldn't understand why that happened. And he didn't die in 10 hours, and he was still alive 2 days later. So they did another CAT scan of his entire body and came and told him there was he was NED. I've got that in his
mind. What does that mean?
No evidence of disease.
I like that, NED,
now,
no evidence of disease.
By this time, when he had this CAT scan, it was in his liver, his lungs, all of his bones, and his kidneys.
Hmm.
And he forgave, and the Lord showed him he had been lax about paying his tithe, and he paid his tithe. Everything started working. He was no evidence of disease. The Burkitt's lymphoma, they could find no evidence of it anywhere in his body.
But then they were doing an experimental chemo on him. Why did they do that if there's no NED, no evidence of disease?
The doctors used fear, I think, to try to get his parents, like, if one cell of this is left somewhere in his body, it could come back and kill him so quick. And we're doing this research, and it would help other people if he would go through it. So we recommend that he stay here and have this chemotherapy. And he finally convinced him to do it. And Brian stayed and had this new protocol of chemotherapy for about 8 months, I think, and went through horrible side effects, lost his hair, lost weight, fell out of bed, was too weak to get back up. Incredible things, but his family did what Wendy Moore did and some of the other people in the book, is they got the Word of God and they just clung to it. They pasted scriptures on his wall. He confessed those scriptures.
You know, in Judaism, what we're supposed to do is put scripture on the doorpost of our home, and under the new covenant, we should put it on the bathroom mirror.
That's
so
right.
That every time we go, it's like I go in and shave, I see God's Word about healing.
That's exactly what they did. They put it everywhere. And he eventually lived while everybody else around him was dying. And when he went back for a 6-month checkup, they told him, we had never tested that drug before, and we now know that the drug is lethal. Everyone who took that drug died from the drug except you.
Everyone died.
Everyone.
Except, why didn't he die in your
Because
opinion?
He hung on to the Word of God that said, by his stripes I'm healed, and they kept praying and confessing the scripture, and the power of God's Word was so alive, it did more good than the medicine could do damage.
That's quite a mouthful. Tell me about this book. What kind of feedback are you getting?
The feedback we've gotten is that people are getting hope. People, because most people think if they don't get an instant miracle, God didn't heal them. That's not the case. And the people reading the book are learning that if you hang on to the Word of God's promises, and in the back of the book are all the healing scriptures you can stand on, and that if you hang on to those, that God's faithful. Just don't give up. That's the message. Don't give up. Don't ever give
up. Maybe you should have changed the title to Don't Give Up.
That should probably be the title of the book.
Now, what's something that you talk about a lot is the partnership, and that's the key operative word, the partnership between God and man.
Right. We've all got a part. Everybody's got a part to play. And isn't it amazing that we're a three-part being, and we're made in His image, and we become His children, and He wants to impart to us His authority. When Yeshua left earth, He gave us, the believers, His authority. And we can use that authority for ourselves, for other people. But literally, God's Word, the Bible, is so full of life. The Scripture is healing. The Bible says it's healing to your bones and your marrow. Well, Brian Wills didn't have any marrow left after all that chemo, but the Word of God healed it. There is literally tangible power in the Word of God, in the Scripture.
Tell me one more story from the book. I mean, these stories are so wonderful. I mean, they should be read to children at night. You should read them to yourself at night. Tell me one more that comes
to mind. Well, there's she's a friend of mine in here, Anita Siddiqui, who at age 26 was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
I've interviewed Anita.
You know Anita.
Go ahead.
And Anita had been a classical pianist, and she lost the ability to play the piano. She became blind in one eye, paralyzed on one side. She couldn't hold her baby. She couldn't see her baby. She couldn't feel his face. And the enemy she would just be bombarded with pictures in her mind of her funeral and her two sons, her infants, and her husband by her graveside, and she would die. And she determined to hang on to God's Word, and she forced to change the channel in the mind. So every time that scene of her funeral would come, she would make herself see herself playing tennis, playing piano, running with her kids. And it was just like the other stories. There was never one day that she was instantly healed. But after about 2 years of this, all of a sudden she realized that gradually, one tiny increment at a time, she was well.
So the story is, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So she had pictures in her mind that were in disagreement with the promises of God's Word, and she just aligned her thoughts with God's Word.
And one of the things that was hard for Anita is her mother was a Christian who had died of cancer, and she had prayed, and a lot of people had prayed. And so Anita's like, now I've been given a death sentence. The doctor said when she was 26, all we can give you is a wheelchair and a catheter. You know, and so she had to climb over the doubt and unbelief about her mother and get in the Word for herself to hang on to it. And when that happened, the power of God just healed the nerves in her body. And they said, well, you can never have another child. Well, she did. And he's a teenager today.
You know, healing is sort of like the game of baseball. You know, three strikes and you're out. That's what most people think. But new rules, kingdom rules. You can keep swinging at the ball until you hit your home run. The only way you're out is if you take the bat and you throw it away and you give up. But God says, all things are possible. And that's a pretty inclusive promise.
Very.
All things are possible to those who believe. There are even people that are deaf right now, and the blockage is coming out of your ears. But the greatest partnership between man and God is to have the life of God inside of you. And that means that He will never leave you or forsake you. And when you die, you just shed your earth suit and you're in the arms of Messiah. And when you live, you walk in your earth suit, in a healthy earth suit, and you fulfill kingdom principles. You must make Jesus your Messiah and Lord. Just my favorite prayer, I prayed it as a Jewish man that didn't know my left hand from my right hand about Jesus. Here was my prayer, Jesus, help! Except it was a whole lot more emotion than that. Jesus, help!